Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And my own.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us on this Monday evening. If you're tuning in live on 97.3 or supertalkhattiesburg.com, I'm Caleb Hamill. He's Josh West. Dalton Stanford back behind the board. We are broadcasting to you live this evening. First time in a while. We've had to punt a little bit and get things, you know, fitting to schedules. And obviously, last Monday we had the opening round going on at the same time as the show's normal airtime slot. But we made sure for all you podcast listeners out there that wanted an NAIA opening round preview, we got that thing posted as soon as possible so that you could listen to that all day long prior to Carey's first game, which was that Monday night. I believe it was 6 o'clock was our start time of that. But anyway, we like to adjust when it is conducive to our schedules, but also yours as well. Is that right? Yeah. That sums it up.
I'm just sitting over here, can't believe how fast May went, how fast championship season went, if you will. Got a call from Tom and Kevin and Landon and Clayton and the gang getting ready for HFC tomorrow night. We'll talk about that more in a little while. But I hadn't been out to lunch on campus. Hadn't been to the CAF in a few weeks.
I know, right?
I mean, it has been fast and furious, crazy busy. And then now here we are, Memorial Day. And then it'll be football season before we know it.
Yeah. And I guess I do need to make a clarification. You're listening live if you're listening to this show, and it's May 19th. We'll replay this episode on actual Memorial Day, which is a company holiday. So if you're listening on Memorial Day, I guess you're a week behind. But still, it's news nonetheless that we'll talk about today. We'll recap a lot of the seasons that are now closed on the 2025 campaign. Unfortunately for William Carey, a lot of seasons came to an end this past week.
Yeah, but I mean, I always think about this, though. Once you're able to get away from it for a few days and then look at the full body of work, then you have to remind yourself how many dozens, if not, you know, at some point, depending on how far you go, hundreds of teams would want to trade places with you. And that's where Carey, across the spectrum of sports, have spoiled us so much with their recent success and raised the bar so high that we can think that yet another first round, opening round, is a disappointment if we're not into the World Series. That's where the expectation has risen to is national championships and World Series appearances.
That's right. And so we can kind of kick off with baseball, I would say, just to kind of bring to mind what everybody I think has been following as of late, which is baseball and softball. And I'll put it bluntly, baseball just did not have a good showing. Pitching did not help the Crusaders' cause, which has kind of been a black eye for this team as of late. Really needed a good start out of Matthew Davis. Didn't quite get it against Indiana Southeast. And so the Grenadiers were able to take that game one on Monday night. That sent Carey to the loser's bracket where they faced Oklahoma Wesleyan. And Bobby McGee had an okay outing, but then all of a sudden, it just turned into a high-scoring affair. All of a sudden, they just started piling on. I'm going to go check the box scores back again just so I make sure I give you all an accurate depiction. But I think Carey, if memory serves right, got down pretty early in that one and just kept trying to claw their way back in there. In fact, Oklahoma Wesleyan had a 12-run lead, I want to say, on Carey going into the later innings. And this is the first year in the opening round that you could have a run rule. In the years past, you would play the full nine regardless because that would make everybody have the same amount of outs they had to record, same amount of pitching and all that. Eventually, they just decided this is a moot point. If you can close it out in seven, do it in run rule fashion. But Oklahoma Wesleyan was flirting with that for a while, and then Carey just kept putting together four-run inning after four-run inning, and all of a sudden you're like, well, if they keep this up, they could, in theory, come back as long as they hold the score where it is. And unfortunately, Oklahoma Wesleyan was able to close it out, and Kerry goes 0-2 in the opening round.
But you got the tying run of the plate in the eighth inning.
And I hate it for Ty Little. You know, bases loaded, two outs. I think it was bases loaded. And he's at the plate representing the tying run. And just a huge spot, and it's tough. You know, Ty's not a guy that's known to hit home runs. In fact, his only one that I know of was an inside the Parker. But the dude gets on base a lot of times with infield hits or little bloopers that just get out of the infield. And they had his number. They got him out on strikes and closed the door on the inning, and that kept the distance at four runs. But, yeah, just the simple fact, like you said, Josh, to get to that point and what seemed to be a lost cause, Kerry absolutely emptied the bullpen. I don't know who was going to come and pitch if that game continued any further, because they got through using Luke Lissett in long relief in game one. So you did not anticipate him coming back anytime soon. So you had Bobby McGee. You used Mason Smith, Alec Avila, Corey Cook, Josh McCord. Josh was the last reliever I remember. And in that final inning, William Carey, potentially, if they would have gotten to that spot in the order, would have had to bat with a pitcher. But in all of that relief, Preston Ratliff had an early relief appearance. And so all of a sudden, Carey had to play the true nine. And every time that pitcher spot in the order came up, Carey would make a sub. All of a sudden, that pitcher has to come out. They bring a new one in. And that happened two, maybe three times. Because, again, there were some four-run innings thrown in there. And I was wondering to myself, if it got to, at that point, Josh McCord's spot in the lineup, I don't know if Carey had any more people that could pinch hit that they hadn't already used on their whatever 27-man, 25-man postseason roster. And so I think there was one, and I can't remember off the top of my head who it was that could have played in that spot. But if they had batted for McCord there, Luke Lissett was about to come back and try to pitch.
Jeez.
On not even a full day's rest, and just sheer guts and determination to try to move Carey on to the winners or to the next game, which would have been the loser's bracket game for day three. I don't know what would have happened. And everybody with Indiana Southeast and British Columbia were just licking their chops watching that lengthy outing for both William Carey and Oklahoma Wesleyan, because both of them used umpteen numbers of pitchers in the third game of the weekend, the loser's bracket game of day two. And lo and behold, neither of those two were able to surge through and make it to the championship game. It ended up being Indiana Southeast and British Columbia, with British Columbia taking it all.
Speaking of, a couple of thoughts there. What was it like hearing O Canada for the first time ever on campus?
I got to say, it was kind of interesting. Now, did not have an actual Canada flag out there in center field for them to salute, but everybody just kind of used their imagination and, you know, just kind of looked that general direction. And most of the people on the field, if they were Americans, they just kind of had their hands behind their back, you know, paying respect, but not saluting or pledging allegiance to Canada. And then once the Star Spangled Banner played, they put the hand over the heart and they do it. They did in that order too. They did O Canada and then the Star Spangled Banner. But I think the umpires had never had to experience it either. So they just put the hat over the chest the entire time. We're just like, I guess it's what we do.
I don't know. What was the feedback coming from British Columbia to Hattiesburg, Mississippi? They had to have been loving the weather, loving the food, loving the hospitality. They must have had just a tremendous experience.
You know, I wish I had taken more time to talk to Coach Pritchett, former major leaguer, and been there at British Columbia for a while. But he was excited about being down here. Wasn't excited about the travel necessarily of, you know, how far they had to go, but realized that everybody else had to travel a ways too. But yeah, to come from British Columbia all the way to the deep south of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and on day three, it was 90-degree temperatures in the late afternoon. But give British Columbia credit. They did what they needed to do, and that's stay in the winner's bracket. And that meant the only hot afternoon game they had to play was day one. After that, it was evening the whole rest of the way. Granted, you played in some daylight, you know, to start the game, but, you know, by the end of it all, they're out there celebrating what was a long extra inning affair, game six of the opening round, and they come out on top. But I'm right there with you. I want to know what they ate while they were here, what the players' takeaways were of Hattiesburg, to come down to these parts, which is probably the furthest away from home a lot of them have traveled in their life.
I would have hoped they would have gotten some Murky Waters barbecue or something like that. You know, some really good barbecues or just something like that. Or maybe gone to Walk-Ons and gotten some gumbo or, you know, Crescent City or something like that to get some really good, you know, New Orleans Cajun or some really good barbecue or something. That would have been the icing on top of it, right, of getting that win. Yeah. And now, if they want to drive to Lewiston, they can drive.
I could.
8 hours.
Yeah, I really wondered what their travel plans were, because usually you get up to Lewiston pretty early because there's all kinds of pomp and circumstance and
Sure. Yeah,
practices and visiting children's hospital stuff going on in the week leading up to the World Series. But unfortunately for me, no steak bites in my future for this year. Mm. I'll just have to wait another year and long for them even more. This is Crusader Talk, talking everything William Carey Athletics. Recap of the seasons for a lot of different sports, baseball and softball notwithstanding. And we'll continue that conversation next as Crusader Talk continues.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, continue on here on Crusader Talk. Just a man, it feels though the sun is shining bright on this day. It feels like there's just a little bit of a gloominess that is kind of hung on some Crusaders and Crusader fans maybe in the final days of last week. Just seeing baseball season come to an end. Softball immediately jumped into the loser's bracket after dropping their first game against Missouri Baptist. They did win a game, however. They won one against Houston Victoria before finally being outed in their third game back on Tuesday. So their seasons are over. Men's tennis, tough draw. Had to fight against Xavier for their first game down in Mobile and lost a tough one 4-3. It came down, right to that final singles match, and Xavier was able to take that one. And Crusaders one and done down there. Women's tennis, likewise, a quick exit, and so it's tough. Now we're left with men's golf over there at a TPC Deer Run this week as we record, and then outdoor track and field have their championship still coming up.
Deer Run, Wisconsin, is that right?
Believe so. I'll double check myself.
Okay. And before we get into women's golf, I'm thinking back to softball, and I wanted to congratulate the Southern States Athletic Conference for 5 teams in the bracket. I mean, we never dreamed that there would be 5 teams. I think you and I honestly didn't know if there'd be 3 teams in that field, and there ended up being 5, which talks about the way that this league is perceived nationwide. It is a very respectable league, extremely respectable.
By the way, Silvis, Illinois. That's where it is. There may be something of a similar.
Now you've got me going to search. I want to see what all they've hosted, because I feel like there's been. Has there not been a tour event there before?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. No, I'm a sucker for TPC Sawgrass and that Island 17 green. Mm. I actually watched some clips of that today. Just tossing back to some of the more memorable moments on that.
You can go play that.
My dad and my brother have. When Mississippi State was playing in the Gator Bowl down there, they played that hole with I think they played the whole course in addition to that hole.
Sure.
With some friends. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool place. And I think we actually stayed right near the course, whatever hotel we were at that time. But I digress. But anyway, the men's golf team is getting geared up for the NAIA National Tournament. And, boy, it's already had its challenges. Yeah, should I cue up the clip?
You got to.
Yeah, it's almost like Festivus. Here we go.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Okay, we're just messing around a little bit here, but evidently been some travel problems, either getting women's golf home or getting men's golf up there to Silvis, Illinois. The problems with the airline, Coach Mixon and his guys are up there. They made it, but not
eventually.
Without some, yeah, not without some difficulties along the way. Which, by the way, you know, this is not a shot at the NAIA at all, but a lot of these different championship events are not the easiest to get to. And, you know, I'll go ahead and speak out for the Hattiesburg opening round. Hattiesburg is not easy to travel to from British Columbia or Bartlesville, Oklahoma, or New Albany, Indiana.
Anywhere.
From anywhere. It's easy to travel to from Laurel.
Because you can't afford to fly into Hattiesburg.
Right. You can't do it. Not unless you live in Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
If you did that, sure. By all means.
But, so you're flying into Jackson, Mobile, Gulfport, or New Orleans, and then you're hopping a charter bus.
That's right.
To get to Hattiesburg.
Yeah, it's crazy to think. You know, I was thinking back about, and I'll hop back on golf in just a second with the airing of grievances thing, but I think the price for the opening round bid was somewhere in the neighborhood of $12,500 that Kerry had to front to the NAIA of saying, you know, this is what we'll pay to host. I'm thinking, my goodness, are you expecting to get that much revenue? And to a degree, there's the possibility that you hit that. But think about it this way. How tough would it be, or how much would you have to spend in your budget?
Sure.
To fly a team anywhere, put them in a hotel for a couple nights, to
feed them,
have a charter bus, and all these things. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, 12 grand doesn't seem that bad. And you're offsetting that with all your gate, concessions, live stream viewers, which, by the way, had a ton of those. You know, understandably so, with your teams being so far away. They even paid the $10 per stream to do it. And we had a good showing of people tuning in and responding on the text line.
Well, but to you and Ben's credit, though, they wouldn't have kept coming back had you guys not put so much work in preparation and conversations and being at bat in practice and with you guys' experience doing what you do. So not only did it get good showing, but they kept coming back and told others, and it grew. And it's also great to know that they've got legitimate fan bases that are passionate about the product and that followed it. I love it.
All right. So area of grievances, and I'll attach one to baseball. And this is not one for William Carey necessarily, just a participant that was here in Hattiesburg over the weekend. On behalf of Indiana Southeast and what Coach Neffendorf has to go through up there, I'll give you a guess as to how many scholarships they have for baseball players through the school. Take a guess.
Ooh.
You know, NCAA used to, you know, be infamous for 11.7.
I don't want to overbid, so I'm going with 7.
All right. Price is Right style, you would get a big old buzzer for being over. Wow. So let's play higher or lower. So lower.
5.
Lower.
4.
Lower.
3.
It's going to be lower.
Oh, it's 0.
It's 1.
1.
They have one baseball scholarship that they split amongst several people. And the other thing, and this, you know, I can understand to one point an administration that just isn't in support of baseball, or it's not a big athletics supporter type thing. They're not a huge JUCO land up there in Indiana either. Okay. So some of these NAIA teams in the region kind of have that feel to it, maybe. But even down here, we give scholarships for baseball and just academics in the region. But one baseball scholarship. Secondly, if you think about what you and I have dealt with Coach Knight, Coach Halford, even NCAA travels and meals and all that, you typically have your game, you hop on the bus, you have a meal ready in a box, or it's waiting for you at the hotel, whether it's Domino's pizzas or, you know, some hotel meal that they serve in chafing dishes, and you just make your plate and, you know, eat and go back to the room. Indiana Southeast, after their loser's bracket game on day 3, had a parent or supporter of some sort go to the concession stand and buy him out of burgers. Poor Eric Burt was just flipping away on the Blackstone out there in the area between concessions and softball, just trying to get him fed between their game against Oklahoma Wesleyan and the championship game with British Columbia that night. Because they cannot make any purchase. One, Coach Neffendorf does not have like a card through the university for per diem or for anything to make purchases, every single thing that he has to do is through purchase order, pre-approved purchase orders. He cannot, at the drop of a hat, buy anything for his team.
Wow.
So as we're nearing the end of the school year, or maybe they are already done with classes and all, he would have to have pre-approval of any spending of food for his team if he wanted to order in pizzas and all that. So they had to have a supporter buy them, and maybe he can get it approved later to reimburse that person.
I will say this. Why would you give to NIL when you could be a supporter of IU Southeast Baseball and really, truly make a difference in that program? How much more is that $1,500, $2,000, $2,500, $5,000 go to be able to support those kids and feed the kids?
Yeah.
You know, bus the kids, clothe the kids, not buy a, you know, $85,000 truck for the kids.
Yeah. And we're talking about a team that was in the World Series last year. They made it to Lewiston, Idaho as a 4 seed in the opening round, made it all the way through to Lewiston, Idaho, and got a win over William Carey. So that's the...
Sounds like a 30 for 30 for me.
Right. Well, unfortunately, they didn't make it to the World Series. British Columbia did for this season. But the final airing of grievances thing today, and you've got to go, if you haven't already, go to Twitter and search for this. The women's golf tournament on hole number 5 had a what they called a challenging placement. Basically, the viral clip that's gone around, and I hope we don't run out of time to hear this clip real quick, but about a 15, 20-foot putt from the edge of the green up to the hole, she lips it, and it sets left of the hole and then rolls all the way back down to her. And evidently, this is not the first time. This was her response to hearing that. Respectfully, how am I supposed to finish if I can't even get it to stay near the hole? You know, I'm finishing her phrase for her, but just...
3 paces the wrong direction from where it was spotted. So it was supposed to have been on a approved slope where the hole placement was in basically an illegal hole placement. But once it was discovered, everybody had to deal with it to the tune of, what did you say? As much as of a +9 on one hole?
I heard of some +9s on that hole. Yeah.
What was the best score?
Maybe somebody chipped it in, got lucky. Who knows? I'd have to go back and look at it for... And that was day one. That wasn't Sunday pin placement. That was day one placement for hole 5. And hats off to Coach Mixon and the women's team for finishing in a tie for 6th over there in Michigan for the NAIA Women's Golf Tournament. I may look at that during the break and find out more. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Crusader Talk.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, back with you on Crusader Talk. I haven't been able to really track down by the hole the different results for hole number 5 on day 1 of the golf tournament. I just know what I saw in those comments. And Dalton, you got to see it for the first time ever just a moment ago. On that video, it's incredible.
It was rough.
There we go. It was that was very, very surprising. I've played a lot of greens in my day, some of them much rounder and more turtle shelly than others, and that surprised me. I mean, I've never had the ball come back to my feet before like that. Yeah. Never.
Josh, what was your comparison to what you would have to do to make it?
So I was thinking, right before break, skee ball.
Yeah.
You're picking out a spot beyond the hole, and you want to run it there, and you're also having to read it of the trickle. You've got to read the trickle coming back as to how you're trying to – goofy golf. It becomes goofy golf.
Yeah.
And so that is beyond frustrating because you know that these players in practice rounds had a score in mind. They had a team goal in mind. And they got to that hole on day one, and everything was blown up. The game plan was blown up. Their round, their scorecard was blown up, and they were losing it mentally. Because managing your own game's hard enough, right? Playing the course when there's not an illegal hole placement. And again, it was a mistake, and it was admitted as a mistake. So you feel bad for the grounds crew. You feel bad for the tournament hosts and for the league. But boy, as a golfer, golf is tough enough.
It is. Granted, I haven't played. My clubs have not seen the light of day, I think, since late 2020, early 2021, because golf was about the only thing you could do.
Sure.
You know, with everything being closed. But I don't know if either of y'all have played many golf video games in your time, either any of the Tiger Woods games or any of those. But for that green, you basically would need what you have in a video game, where you have the lines and it shows the slope of the course and the little things are moving across the bottom of the green. Yeah. If any of our listeners know what I'm talking about, they'll get it. But that's the only way that you would make that putt. No. And like you said, skee ball, if you make the hole, tickets are going to start spitting out of the hole because you managed to get it in. I mean,
so they do it once and then it's disbelief. So they try it again, maybe two or three times. Then you're going on to plan B after two or three attempts at it, and you're trying to run it past the hole and trying to read it. And hence the plus five, plus six, plus seven, eight, nine on one hole. So your entire front nine score completely destroyed.
Exactly.
On that one green. But everybody had to go through it.
Yeah, they did. And it's hilarious looking back at the round one scores versus the round twos and threes, which, you know, generally you feel like you would do better on the course, you know, from one day to the next because you've experienced it a practice round than your actual game day one and two. But let's just kind of look at the comparisons of round one to round two on these. Ready? British Columbia, who won it all for the women's golf tournament. They were plus nine day one, but they were even on day two.
Ooh.
Plus 18 on day one was Kaiser, the second place finisher. They were only plus six on day two. So 12 stroke difference there. Marion, Indiana, from plus 13 to plus 8. William Carey, subtle difference, a four-stroke difference. So that was fairly negligible. But, you know, all in all, you're seeing big swings from day one to day two. Dalton State, 27 to 19 on the plus side, plus 27 to plus 19. I mean, I'm not saying all that's just that one hole, but when you go back and look at the scoreboard and say round one, show me those, it is all like gray squares and blue squares. No par, maybe a par here and there, no birdies, no eagles for a par five. It was just incredible. But again, everybody had to play it the same way. They, you know, had a different hole placement for day two, and it was back to par, to coin the phrase. But all that said, that's over and done. Carey finishes sixth in that, and a good showing for Coach Mixon and his squad after getting an SSAC tournament championship under their belt. So hats off to them.
Extra points for the sixth place national finish. Does that help in terms of the Learfield final national standings?
I think it does. I'd have to go back and see. I mean, it gets smaller and smaller the further away from first
you
get.
Sure.
But I know that Carey Baseball got points for being in the World Series this past year. So I have a feeling a top 10 finish is still points toward what you need. Let's kind of talk future, specifically baseball and softball. As I look at what Carey loses from a baseball standpoint, y'all aren't going to recognize this team next year. There are so many people that were seniors on this team. And it really didn't dawn on me until Carey played Loyola a couple weekends ago. I've lost count just kind of scrolling through the different bios that were announced on senior day, but I'm just going to say out the names. And all of a sudden you can start doing the math of thinking, okay, who was in the field that's left?
Mm.
Luke Lissette. Golly, I'm going to miss that family. I hope they still come out to games. I know Jake's been working around town, and his presence was always a good one, as well as his parents. But, man, going to miss Luke. He was such a good pitcher. But Luke Lissette, Josh Alexander, Eli Collins, both those last two D1 transfers that came into Carey this year. Preston Ratliff, with the program for several years now. Bridley Thomas, spent 2 years with us from Mississippi College.
Did he never really overcome the concussion? Did he really have lingering issues with that?
You know, he may not have been 100% to what he used to be, but to a degree, I mean, he got hit by pitches in the conference tournament, and I think he got hit by one against Indiana Southeast, I want to say.
Yeah.
Maybe. But he's wearing that Guardian helmet. Played in the field day one, did not play in the field day two. Him and Ty Little switch places
okay.
there.
Okay.
But, you know, to a degree, I don't think he was ever able to ramp up to where he was. You could contribute that to lack of playing or possibly the concussion protocol stuff they had to go through. But
sure.
Hate to see his final season kind of shortened.
The yeah, that's my thoughts exactly.
Yeah, former yep. hit-by-pitch leader in the NAIA a season ago. Nearly set the record. He's second all-time. Andrew Shira. Man, talk about a guy that's leaving a legacy. And I know it didn't quite end the way he wanted to, both with the tightness in his back and everything else going on that final year. Just was not as sharp as he had been. But, man, the two World Series runs, Carey wouldn't have been able to do it without him.
I think the injury probably played more of a factor than we'll ever know. You might be able to go back and ask him about it a lot later. It may not be that much later, but later. And there might be some admission that he was actually more hurt than he let on.
Well, and I'll take a step further. You know, just talking with coaches and stuff. Yeah, after the opening round, I should say, was over. I had to kind of ask them. I was like, has it been more mental or is it physical? And then after the early talks of thinking that it was partially mental, they said, oh, no, it's 100% physical. He just would not let on to the fact that he was hurting.
His
competitor
tough
wanting
kid.
To fight it out just would not let on to the pain that he was experiencing, which, I mean, hats off.
That's heartbreaking. To me, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, coming from SSAC Pitcher of the Year in 23, second team selection for the conference in 24, and also World Series berth both those years, you just – felt for him. You really wanted him to succeed. Guy from Mobile, just down the road. I would love to have seen him go out on a high note. And yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't quite work out that way. But again, I feel like we'll see his name brought up again later down the road. He could be a possible Carey Hall of Famer. I mean, when you think about a pitcher that helped lead this team to two separate World Series appearances, hardly any pitchers have been a part of that. Him and Dario Herrera about the only ones, and I would say Shira was more of a factor last year in that than Dario was, and that's no shame on Herrera. But I just think that that's a huge part. And obviously RJ Stinson's going to get his credit too, and probably before Shira. But all that said, he has left his mark on this program and in a positive way, much more than what this final season would let on. All right, so that is six down and more to go. Rigoberto Hernandez, Tyler Duxworth, Connor Wilson, Gerard Williams, Brady Logan, Bobby McGee, Mason Smith, Alik Avila, Ty Little. Man, hate that for him that he's done playing baseball. Yeah, I remember watching him in high school over at Summerall. And, again, hate that key part of that game against Oklahoma Wesleyan came down to his at-bat. But, man, love him. Love his family that have come to so many of those games. They have very, very kind remarks about what we do with both the broadcast and with the podcast. Thought I'd give a special shout-out to them. They've been overwhelming in their kindnesses over the last several weeks with us. But, all right, so that was Ty Little. Now Corey Cook, Cam Trosclair, and those are the seniors.
That's 16, 17 players.
All right.
So that's over 60% of your roster.
Wow.
So who's your left fielder?
Who's left?
Let's start there.
I thought it was who's on first.
Yeah, it's who's on first.
That's right.
What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
Yeah, the whole time you were talking, all I was thinking about was, and I know it's a path to Carey for a lot of players, whether it's Division I bounce back, whether it's working your way through the JUCO ranks first, where you're seasoned enough to be able to jump in and play at the level Carey needs you to play, because it's not just coming into play at Carey, it's to be ready to go to win conference championships and make runs for Lewiston. But I still, look ahead 2 to 3 years. Purvis, George County, Taylorsville, Seminary. I just look around here. We are in baseball country. And Mississippi is as good as anywhere. The Pine Belt is as good as anywhere. So the future is bright in terms of talent. And I think the brand's strong. You know, we tried to get Tracy on tonight. We tried to get Dr. Burnett on. Just a lot of people that are really busy this time of year or busy doing different things this time of year and didn't have the opportunity due to travels or whatever, obligations right here before Memorial Day. But I don't think the brand's ever been stronger. I don't think the program's ever been stronger. I don't think the facilities have ever been better. Recent history has never been better, this three-year run they've been on. I want to hear a little bit more about that, of where this three-year run ranks all time.
Well, just to put it in perspective, of the NAIA-sanctioned sports, I'm trying to think of how many of those, Kerry, did not have representation in the national tournament. I can only think of possibly two, and I may be wrong. Beach volleyball and competitive cheer? I think that's it.
And competitive cheer was brand new.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember if that's
official. They'll make a big jump
sanctioned.
Year one to year two.
I think it is official.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything else made it. Incredible to think of.
And beach volleyball had a bunch of injuries.
They did. They definitely did. All right, final segment coming up as Crusader Talk rolls on.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, final segment with you here on this Monday. A couple headlines, highlights just of the week and, you know, recent memory. Hey, enough with the down stuff, you know, baseball and softball ending their seasons, which, by the way, softball got a lot of people returning. Only two seniors, Prejean and Caro. So you've still got Hornsby, Shaw, Neiman, I mean, and all those position players that we've grown to love this year.
They just need a couple of more bats.
Yeah.
They got runners on, but it's interesting. They had had a couple of thumpers, if you will, some big bats in that lineup. It was a very much of a speed-heavy lineup this year. It's going to be interesting to see if they can put a couple of those big bats back into the lineup, because it was just timely hitting was going to be the thing that kind of defined the season all year. Left a lot of runners on in big situations, it felt like. Scoring runs was tough. I mean, the team ERA was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And maybe struggled a little bit later in the year, but just lost a lot of 3-2, 2-1, 1-0 type games.
Yeah, split a lot of those series. And I kind of hated that though the MHSAA championships were here in Hattiesburg, our girls and coaching staff were out in Oklahoma City. Didn't really get a chance to make some side conversations and, you know, handshaking, you know, while they were here in town.
Ooh, there were a lot of really good players in that tournament.
There were a lot of good games. Which, by the way, just kind of recapping softball and baseball at a larger picture, we mentioned all the teams from the SSAC that got into softball. None of them made the final site in Columbus, Georgia. For baseball, ABAC made it to the championship game out of the loser's bracket and faced Southeastern. Dropped that one, so they got put out. Loyola, however, made it to Lewiston. First time ever in program history.
I'll tell you. Man, that's good. You good know, for the league. Good for the league.
Good for the league and good for, you know, Coach Kennedy. I mean, dude has been around NAIA baseball for years. I think this is his third different program to take there.
Wow.
I think he took – I'm probably going to mess this up. I think he took Northwood, then he took Kaiser, and now he's taking Loyola.
It's just – I mean, it's great for the rivals to do good. I mean – You can be hating on your rivals, but we need them to be good, so there's rivals. So there's actually
right,
rivalries.
Right.
We need Mobile to be great. We need Loyola to be great. We need Blue Mountain to continue their rise. Tennessee Southern. We need Faulkner to bounce back. We need – I mean, this division, if you will, of the SSAC is so good. And then Georgia's coming on strong with ABAC, for example, in their addition. So, yep, future's very bright.
Yeah. And hats off. Loyola did it the right way. I mean, they have just shown – resiliency down the stretch. I mean, taking a couple of games from Faulkner to beating William Carey at the end of the regular season, even though they don't win the regular season outright, they at least took two out of three from the Crusaders, they make it all the way through to the championship game in the SSAC tournament and then beat Carey there. So they're a team that's hot at the right time. About the same story they had with basketball a few years back. They got hot at the right time. So best of luck to those out there. LC State, second straight year, they have missed the World Series. So no Lewis Clark State at their home venue at Harris Field in Lewiston. So those are a couple headlines. Other headlines, Patrick Lee moving back up to High A. West Michigan will now have him, the Whitecaps, as they pull him up from the Lakeland Tigers down there in Florida. So he's back on his ascent from single A to High A. Hopefully he'll be making that jump up the ladder a couple more rungs. Still got a couple more teams in that ladder to go through. Then you've got the Eric Seawolves. I'm trying to remember if that's what the title is of that. And then the Toledo Mud Hens before you get to the Detroit Tigers. But congrats to him. Also, recruiting news for Cary Baseball. Saw we had somebody announce on Twitter that they're going to join the fold, and that would be Hines transfer Ford McDaniel. So he has announced on Twitter that he is committed to William Carey Baseball. High praise from Jay Powell, a guy that I've got to call a couple games with at Mississippi State, that he's a good player, a left-handed pitcher, something that Carey has not recruited in a while.
Where was Ford from prior to?
You know, give me 2 seconds and I'll find it for you.
All right. So that he knows everything that Google knows.
That's right. Anything ChatGPT and Google can provide me. I would imagine giving Coach Powell's recommendations about him or high praise that he probably was a Jackson Prep product, because that is where he most recently coached. If not, maybe it was Jackson Academy. And it was Prep. I was right. So he's wrapping up his sophomore year, or he has wrapped up his sophomore year at Hines. So looking forward to hopefully having
really
him on campus.
And a really solid program at Hines.
Oh, yeah. Really good. Looking at pitching statistics this season, 22 innings in total. More of a relief guy, but we'll see what he brings to the table for William Carey. Again, haven't had a left-hander since Dario Herrera graduated a couple years ago. We were all right-handers here in the year of our Lord 2025, so that'll be exciting to get him into the mix. Comes from good stock. All right, we are slim out of time. How quickly it goes by. Stay in tune on CareyAthletics.com and the NAIA websites for all the updates on men's golf as they participate in the week as we record, as well as outdoor track and field. I'd see how our different athletes do to wrap up the 2025 spring sports season. That'll be a lot of fun. We'll look forward to recapping that after Memorial Day. But until next time, for Dalton Stanford and my friend Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Good night, God bless, and go Saters.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.